Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast, where we dive into all things software automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakra. While I'm not podcasting, I write articles on nandan.info. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it. We have Charles Ward, the CRO from Blueprint, on the show today. Blueprint provides digital process design solutions that can help you identify, design, and manage your automations. In this chat, we explore how you can go beyond the usual documentation like PDDs to a more data-centric approach with what they call as digital blueprints. Let's listen in and get to know more about this exciting platform. Hello, Charles. Welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. Thanks for taking time to be on the show today.
I appreciate it. It's a pleasure being here.
So Charles, can we start with a quick introduction about yourself?
Sure. So Charles Sword, I'm the Chief Revenue Officer at Blueprint. I've been with the company for about 6 years. I began my career actually as a developer many, many moons ago and spent the first half of my career in consulting, working mostly in large enterprises doing software delivery programs. So, you know, in one form or another, as a developer, as a project manager, program manager, and ultimately, you know, running consulting teams, really seeing firsthand the challenge of meeting the business needs and delivering software out, you know, in these large organizations in particular. Over the last half of my career, I've spent, you know, on the software side, and about half of that here at Blueprint, where, you know, we're doing exactly that. We're trying to help large companies deliver technology solutions to their business better, faster, cheaper, like everyone else.
That's excellent. Better, faster, and cheaper. So you've been at Blueprint for quite some time now, right? So how have you at Blueprint been doing it? I mean, how did you discover? I think you've said you've seen all the phases, you know, you've been a developer to a salesperson. So how do you see Blueprint changing the way things are being done in the software industry?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, Blueprint's been around for about 15 years, so has lived through, you know, quite a few different waves of the way that IT works and delivers software on behalf of the business. You know, we started out life as a requirements definition and management company, you know, back when folks were, you know, building software with waterfall processes. You know, other vendors in that space were Rational, you know, which was eventually acquired by IBM. But, you know, folks typically, you know, it was a document heavy process at the time. You know, people built what we used to call BRDs, business requirement documents, and FDDs, functional design docs, and all the, it was a lot of documents, right? And that's how we built software back in the day. And it took months, if not years, to complete these projects, which was a problem because many times by the time you got around to building it or delivering it, those documents weren't even right anymore. Right. And so, you know, we were trying to help folks do that. And what was interesting about our approach then was it was very process centric, you know, so even back then when we were helping folks, you know, organize requirements, both functional and non-functional requirements, we always did it in the context of a process. That was our big differentiator at the time. But, you know, of course, times changed and folks began to see some of the flaws in developing software and long cycle processes, waterfall-based processes, document-centric processes, and hence the advent of Agile, right? And where we broke it down smaller, you know, smaller chunks, more iterative, more rapid delivery to prevent some of those disconnects between original requirement and ultimately what gets delivered 18 to 36 months later. And, you know, and so we evolved as a company at Blueprint as well and you know, developed capabilities support those large enterprises again in their agile transformation. So specifically helping people to once again define you know, features and epics and ultimately decompose those down into user stories, but always once again having a process flow as being the guiding sort of framework by which work was defined. So, you know, once again, that's been the through thread of the company and sort of core to our DNA is this process centrism. So, you know, when you then fast forward to, you know, a handful of years ago with the rise of RPA, it was a very natural fit for us. So we had the, you know, if you look at, you've kind of put together that history, you know, certainly helping folks to define their landscape, their processes. We had many customers who were already using our platform to do that. So when it came time for them to go automate those, it was a natural fit for us, especially because many of the major RPA vendors were advocating, you know, wait for it, a return to documents as a way to do it, right? Which is almost mind blowing, but here we were like 15 years later and people were saying, build PDDs and SDDs, which, you know, was like back to the future again for us. And we were like, wait, time out. No, there's not, that is not the way to do it. We told people that 15 years ago, and we still mean it today. And, you know, and so that's what we've been doing. We've been, you know, really focused on helping these large organizations to realize there's a more efficient way to deliver automation, but not just automation, you know, much the, you know, the buzzwords today is really digital transformation, which catches a whole lot of change initiatives within these organizations. And that's the focus for Blueprint today, is to help to drive the digital transformation of large enterprises. Once again, starting with this concept of what we call a citizen designer and understanding that what great design, as Steve Jobs said, what design's really about is how something works. So we want to help businesses understand exactly how they work. And, you know, in our process centric software, which we call built, you know, digital blueprints, is that's exactly what it does.
Oh, okay, great. And, you know, believe it or not, I've gone through that. You know, you go to Blue Prism portal, you still have all those documents out there. And there's quite a few of them. And I must admit, you know, when I started as a practice, you know, leading the practice for RPA, I said, oh, these are the things to do, because, you know, you come from that whole background and then people won't embrace that. And then, yeah, we had to change things and embrace agile, which I think is better. And I think what you are doing and following a process-centric approach is even better, right? It's more about designing and taking it back to that concept of designing things and keeping things minimal in terms of documentation, and everything is captured in your design, you know, whether it's the best practices, whether whatever is needed to be done, there is captured in a design and easy to understand format, easy to document format. So can you tell us a bit more about your whole, I think what you call as an enterprise automation suite?
Yeah, sure thing. So, you know, the platform as it exists today, you know, especially being a mature platform with 15 years of evolution to it, it's really, you know, feature rich and certainly enterprise grade. You know, we typically, the Global 2000 sort of, you know, represents our primary customer base. And so we had all of the, you know, the core platform elements that you would expect in terms of enterprise class admin and reporting and so forth. But that's sort of table stakes, right? But what our enterprise automation suite, as I mentioned earlier, at the core of it is this artifact that we call a digital blueprint. You know, that digital blueprint has the fundamental process decomposition for any of your major business processes. So from a high level business process all the way down to, you know, as low level as you want to go, you know, most people take you to about a level 3 if you're a Six Sigma person, you know, but you can go even further. And there's no limitation on that. But that process hierarchy becomes like the organizing framework. It's like an information architecture for everything else that hangs off of the platform. So, you know, then we attribute that process with a lot of other things. So, you know, the process actually tells you what you do, but not why you do it. And so what we try to help people understand is, okay, why is the process this way? Well, perhaps it's a regulatory mandate, or perhaps it's another operational constraint, or a compliance mandate, or a security concern. And, you know, we make sure that there's attribution for why a process is why it is, because those are change elements too and change dimensions that you've got to keep track of. And one of the things that is really important in this artifact, this digital blueprint artifact versus the PDDs of the world is, you know, as soon as you put information in a document, it has like a nuclear radioactive half-life, you know, like that's measured in like weeks, I think. You know, you come back 4 weeks later, it's only half accurate, right? Come back another 4 weeks later, it's almost useless. Because the world moves so fast that documents are just a terrible way to, they become silos of information, you know, often a SharePoint farm. And they're poor medium for collaboration. Whereas you have a platform like ours that is built to be inherently sort of social and collaborative. Then, and once again, our licensing model is non-restrictive. We don't have user-based licensing. So we want to encourage as wide participation as possible, which is why we don't do user-based licensing. Mm-hmm. So now anybody can come in, anybody can collaborate. It's inherently social. It's inherently, you know, like I say, collaborative. And we believe that that invites all these stakeholders. And, you know, we work really hard on the UX to make it super accessible and intuitive. So there's not this steep learning curve and tons of enablement. And now you got all the people at the table and a medium that's sort of, you know, super easy to capture the information. And that's sort of where it all begins. And then once you have that great design of what your process is or should be, that's where sort of the fun starts for us in Blueprint. And this is where we really lean on our history as, across all of this prior generations of software development, like from the Agile world. We can take that process view and we can automatically transform it into atomic, super well-formed user stories. So you can automatically push out to Jira a full backlog of all the work you have to do. You know, you don't have to then go sit down and write those user stories. We make sure that you have a complete set, so non-overlapping, you know, not disjoint of the full scope of your process. We also generate from that same digital blueprint, we can generate a full set of functional tests, you know, with expected results and everything that you would have. And you can push that out to Tricentis or your test management platform of choice. Mm-hmm. And then we also generate a full set of user acceptance stories, Gherkin's, you know, user acceptance tests, which, you know, in the given when then format, which you can, you know, use your favorite test automation tool to use to drive that sort of testing. So the idea is this, when you spend time getting the design right, you know, as I said, really describing how your business truly works, we'll do the hard, heavy work and the heavy lifting of transforming that into other work products. And the last piece that, you know, and this is really sort of the clincher in terms of our efficiency and productivity boost is our deep integration with a lot of the actual implementation platforms. In the RPA world, that means folks like UiPath, Automation Anywhere, Blue Prism, and Microsoft Power Automate. We can take that digital blueprint, not just the flow, but all of the individual tasks and parameters that have been captured there, and not only create the flow within those downstream platforms, but actually instantiate and build out the objects that need to be acted upon. And, you know, that saves the development time of somewhere, you know, 50 to 70% of mm-hmm. the work that, and then they can focus on things like exception handling, you know, adding robustness into it. And we see that as a much more sort of current way of building automations, and, you know, frankly, a higher quality way, as opposed to documents and the back to the future, you know, methods that others are espousing.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, and I think from your perspective, you say identify, design, and deliver, I think, right? So, and I think you also do you spoke about the deliver, and which is a key part of that. So you also do the identify part, right? Especially because now a lot of focus is coming on the process mining and process intelligence areas. I've spoken to a few people on the podcast on process intelligence. It's coming up very well in a way that, you know, it can actually, like you said, the designs can save a lot, and they also can save a lot of the effort in terms of mapping out the processes. So can you talk about that? How do you you, I think, integrate with that part too, right? Identifying.
Yeah, we sure do. And it is, like you say, it's a class of capabilities and tools that more and more people are realizing are kind of vital for them to get this understanding of how their business works. Right. And we partnered with all the major names out there. And, you know, it's been an interest over the last 2 years is when we really built out those partnerships. And it's interesting, you know, what we found is that the role that Blueprint played is, you know, we would ingest, they would go out, they would put these agents on all the desktops or, you know, tap into all the logs and pull in all this information. And they would extract tons of data, you know, really just amazing amount of data around processes and behaviors and activities and tasks. But, you know, I guess that's the blessing and the curse because they had tons of data and no real way to sort of post-process that. And that's what we sort of became. You know, if they were the extraction later, we were the transform. Like, you know, we were there to try to amplify the signal in the noise of all that data. Because what we saw was, you know, on a good day, these tools were able to get 60-65% accuracy. And then it needed some massaging by a subject matter expert, what we would call a citizen designer, who really understood what was going on and could figure out, you know, what were the valid paths and what needs to be merged and so on and so forth. And, you know, after a couple of years of doing that, we just decided that the challenge that we saw was, in many ways, the approach being taken is technology in search of a solution. You know, folks are really leaning heavy into AI and ML to try to interpret and, you know, once again, make the machine find the signal in the noise. And we just, you know, it's just not there yet, I have to say, in our view, right? Humans are still much better at that. And so we're actually going into that market ourselves. We're releasing in a couple months our own process capture tool. Mm-hmm. As our first entrance into that. And, you know, and we're taking a totally different approach. It's going to be one that is a highly structured approach. You know, it starts actually with a high level process that's defined by a subject matter expert, a citizen designer. And then that high level process becomes the guiding framework, the structure of all the data that's captured subsequently. So we're not going to try to solve that problem where we just hoover up tons of data and then try to figure out what it means. We think that most people know their processes pretty well, meaning at the high level, they're at least 80% good on that. What they don't know are the detailed tasks and activities underneath those process steps. We're going to use technology to do that heavy lifting, to go find that all that detailed task information. Because, you know, most people know the flow, they don't know the details. So we're going to let the machine do that and let the people, you know, the humans in the mix, guide that capture of information. So we're taking a sort of a contrarian viewpoint on how to approach that. We think it'll be more efficient and get to the right answer faster.
Yeah. And I like that human-centered design, right? So, and from a design perspective, you can push that, that, you know, everything should be human-centered. Now, having said that, I think even the other providers, many of them need a human in between. And that's where there is that value in terms of not just value, there's a need, right? That there is, that the human should be in control, right? I mean, and like you said, it's not there yet, and probably it will not be there for quite a long time. And an example is autonomous cars, right? We've been thinking we'll be getting autonomous cars a decade back now. But, you know, and talking to those people, you know, it's probably another 20 years away. And probably never, right? Because the world is always changing. So yeah, we just need humans there in control, right? Whether you're getting the logs, whether you're getting the data, and then putting in the best practices, ensuring that they are driving things, and then send it to the automation, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, like, you know, back to my example, like the machines are really good at capturing the what, like capturing lots of tasks.
Yeah.
But they have no idea why.
Right.
Yeah. Right. They can't tell you why that task happened. The only person, in fact, that can say why is some business person who understands why they're forced to, you know, protect your privacy in a HIPAA situation or GDPR mandate, right? And the machines will never figure that out. They'll never know that in probably my career lifetime. And so we understand that. And that's sort of our starting point, because we believe those whys are just about as important as the whats. And we're trying to make sure that we can be most efficient in doing both of those. The machines are good at capturing the what. Make sure you have a way to incorporate the why. And that's how we'll do it. Whether they get better at it in a near time frame, I mean, Elon would probably say it's going to be here by December, but he tends to be a little optimistic with his forecasts.
Yeah, and also regretting, right? So he once said that he automated too much. So
that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So from a design perspective, I think there's a need for design to be embraced itself, because a lot, and I've been party to it, right? I mean, a lot of it started, like you said, with hammers chasing the nails, right? In the sense that I've gone to clients who said that, you see, I have this 10 bot licenses. I need to understand what I can do with it. So it is more of technology tool-led and also technical people-led. And I think there's been a technical design, but not a functional design. And that's where I think functional or, best practice design, like what you're talking about. And that's where I like this citizen developer concept. So whether there is a set of data and machines doing for the identify phase, and there's a machine to do the automation, in between, there's a citizen designer who is actually designing things. And like we spoke before the podcast, it's not a citizen developer, because a citizen developer can develop orphan bots, which is not maintained. And, IT doesn't care about it or not able to understand it much. Whereas a citizen designer is designing the things and then ensuring that they are built well along the way by developers or whoever the technical people is, right? So
yeah,
I think it's a very exciting concept, and we need to make design part of the process. And I think as the industry matures, people are realizing it. And it's not just about automation, right? Like you said, when you do the design, you're capturing more data of like why and things like that, which can be used for process improvement. It's not just automation, right? It's more about solving the business problem. And good that you are zoomed into the process, and you are also having a process common thread. But it's about improving the process, optimizing the process, standardizing the process, and then looking at automating it. And people are realizing it now. And I think this is a time for introducing that design so that we are doing things right, right? So I just wanted to ask you about this whole movement that's going on. And we just, before the call, we spoke about how people are so excited about it. How are you working on standardizing this, right, for the industry? Because I think it has to be embraced by a whole lot of people so that we have this standardized and this becomes part of the whole process of discovery of processes and automating the process or optimizing the process.
Yeah, no, it's something we spend a lot of time on. We certainly are evangelizing a couple different elements there, which I'll separate for you. So the citizen designer is a persona within organizations. That's not something that's proprietary to us. I mean, we might have kind of coined the term, and we're certainly advancing it and evangelizing it, as I say, with the analysts and out in the broader technology and digital transformation community. And because it's just, as you say, we think design is paramount to building great technology in support of great business outcomes. So that's something we're trying to advance as a concept. Now, we think we have the best tooling to support that persona. I'm not going to be shy about that. But you can still have citizen designers without using our platform. And that's really great. I mean, we did a webinar earlier on that. And and it's really not about buying the Blueprint platform. It's about embracing the idea that there's this role in your organization that we call citizen designer that really fundamentally understands how your business works and can communicate that to folks that can, maintain and represent that and help evolve that over time. And we just think that that's super important. Now, underneath the covers of that, use the word standards a couple of times. You know, we believe in the, as you start to translate that into the technology world, how you actually make that work best is to organize the ecosystem of tools and technologies in support of that notion of a citizen designer. And anytime you're trying to get some commonality, interoperability amongst technologies, the backbone of that is standards. And, you know, that's another thing that we're pushing hard for across the industry, working with the RPA, the major RPA vendors, working with the standards bodies themselves to try to create some a common language as to how we describe, you know, automations and even it's an extension to how we define processes today in our view. And there's already a good body of standards around that. We think there's a needed set of extensions to that that would really support the interoperability of a lot of these technologies, whether it be the process mining tools, the capture tools, right all the way through to the not just the RPA platforms, but you know, jump over to the no-code, low-code tools, and so on and so forth. There's a need for the ability to translate this notion of process design and process capture through to technology implementation. Now, today we talk a lot about that being in the RPA world, but it'll evolve. There'll be a new generation of tool sets and a new set of capabilities. If we have standards at the basis of it, you know, they'll naturally have a place to go for to plug in to the rich world of definition that would have occurred, you know, whether it's no code, low code, or future AI-driven development or what have you, to immediately be able to leverage the value of all the work that people have done. So that's something we're pushing hard. And really, those two concepts, the notion of citizen designer as a persona that every organization should have in its digital transformation efforts, and then supporting that, working across the technology industry to create the notion of RPA standards, which are really an extension of a lot of the business process standards that we already have today.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. And I understand you're working with the likes of Microsoft and Avanade and team, right? In making this standards a reality.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're fortunate that we've forged a lot of great relationships. We've got a lot of folks who are supportive of our unique little point of view in the world. We have a great relationship with Microsoft, you know, the Inspire event's coming up next week, which is our big partner event. You know, we're looking forward to be a part, you know, part of that and part of some of the discussion around that, because we're doing some really exciting things with the Power Automate platform, which is maturing rapidly. I'll tell you, throughout 2020, I could count on one hand the number of times I had discussion. And I, you know, I talk to hundreds and hundreds of people per year. And as part of my role here at Blueprint, hundreds of companies. And I literally, it was a handful of times people asked me about Microsoft and Power Automate. In the first 6 months of this year, I could count on one hand the number of times they didn't ask me about Microsoft. It's like a night and day difference. And frankly, that platform is maturing into really an enterprise class super platform. So we're really excited. Could be more excited about that work and directly with Microsoft. And, you know, and side by side with that, you know, Avanade, you know, we're working closely with them. We have a global agreement with them as well to leverage our platform and their RPA efforts in particular, you know, to help customers migrate to Power Automate, because more and more customers are looking at their options and they're deciding they could switch to Microsoft and Microsoft, you know, and Avanade's helping to execute on that vision. Because one of the things that's unique about it, about the Blueprint platform, is due to the fact we have interoperability with every major vendor. Mm-hmm. And we can extract we can build a digital blueprint from a running bot. Oh, okay. And vice versa. We can take a digital blueprint and turn it into a bot.
Right.
Well, it's not too much math to realize we could take a bot from platform A and transfer it to platform B. So, you know, one of the things that is really unique about our platform is that, to my knowledge, we're the only platform that has cross-platform portability between all the major vendors.
Okay.
So, you know, so what we see that as is it gives customers choice, right? You know, because there are some platforms that are good at some things and some that are good at others, you know? And so for folks that want to have a multi-platform environment, they can now have a universal automation design and determine which is the appropriate implementation platform based on the capabilities they need. But they design it the same way every time. It's the design's not locked into a proprietary implementation standard. And we think that that separation of concerns is really important because it sort of keeps your design clean of proprietary extensions and stuff, which allows for portability. And then the other case is when folks, you know, for whatever reason have decided they've outgrown or, you know, are looking to make a switch to a new vendor, we can help just port their entire environment. They're not locked into a relationship with a vendor that where it's not meeting their needs anymore.
Yeah. And I think that's exciting, you know, as a practice lead for RPA, that would have been a tool that I would have loved to have. And I'm happy to see that come up, you know, because then tool doesn't become one of the big decisions. It's more about what you want to do with process automation.
Yeah, what we see is that back end is becoming commoditized. Mm-hmm. I mean, like my RPA partners probably won't love hearing that, but it's just a fact of life, right? That's how it works. Value pushes up the stack. It's a truism of technology, right? And that's really what's happening here. You know, there's a lot of great open source tools out there. I know you've covered a couple of Robocorp and others. Mm-hmm. They're doing really cool things, you know, different approach. But yeah, there's a lot of options for folks. We want to create portability and choice in the implementation technology of choice. And we want to put the value where we think the value persists across, you know, essentially generations of technology. If you have a great process design and you have a great articulation of how your business actually works, then you can translate today. We can push that into an automation RPA stack for you. Tomorrow, we might push that into a no code, low code platform.
Right.
And then, down the road, we might be able to push that into some new AI format that automatically generates magic. Right. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's great. I mean, and it makes it technology, I mean, you know, technology proof, if I can say that, right? It's more about what's your functional designs about. So it's great that you're working with many industry leaders like Microsoft and others to make it standardized. And I think another aspect is also the community aspect, right? In the sense that more and more people come to know about Blueprint and start embracing it, and then it becomes unstoppable, right? So in that vein, like, some of the people are people who are listening to you today. So if they want to actually look at this platform and start, you know, kicking the tires, how do you suggest they do that?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, look, you know, reach out directly to us through the website. There's lots of opportunities there to zero in on, you know, the particular pain point you might have if you're, you know, if you're a current RPA practitioner, or you're implementing RPA within your organization. You know, there are lots of ways we can help, whether it's a migration use case, which we just discussed, whether it's embracing this notion of citizen designers. We'd love to talk to you. As we said, you know, our platform is super intuitive. The learning curve's quite low. We have a very lightweight way to get started with new customers. We call it a starter pack. It's a ability to go build 5 of these digital blueprints and try it out in your organization, see if it really works for you. And is it truly a better way of doing this versus PDDs? I can tell you, we have almost 100% conversion of that, because, you know, once you get away from documents into a platform like this, it's so obvious that you could never go back, right? And the information is data. So it's so much more leverageable than, once again, being, you know, in an unstructured Word document, which is, you know, you can do nothing with that. So, yeah, look, it's super easy to get started with us. You know, we have customers that have scaled out one of our largest customers has now over 20,000 digital blueprints. Pretty much every business process in their organization is defined within our platform and the result and the supporting technologies. So, you know, forever in IT, We've had super precise ways of tracking assets known as applications. If you go ask any major, any CIO, he can tell you how many strategic applications you have. You go ask any business today how many strategic business processes they have, they can't answer that question. And that's really, it's shocking, right, to think about that, that we manage the heck out of this thing called applications, this asset, right? But probably the asset that they're really supporting, which is your core business processes, people really have no idea how many they have or where they're unmanaged. And we want to change that with our platform. We think these digital blueprints is a convergence of technology implementation and business process design. And we think that it should be managed as a strategic asset. And that's what our platform's all about. We want to help people build a repository that maps their landscape, both from a business process perspective, but a technology implementation perspective. And we've got people doing, you know, we've got large organizations with, you know, thousands of users out doing that right now, thousands of citizen designers helping to do that. And so we'd love to work with anyone who'd be interested in taking that journey.
That's great, great. So I think, we'll add the links to the show notes so that people can go there. And finally, if people want to reach you, Charles, what's the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me is directly. I mean, you can reach out to me at charles.sword@blueprintsys.com. Send me an email, happy to get my team engaged and figure out how we can help out. If you're interested in just discussing and how you can help us advocate and evangelize some of the things we're talking about here in terms of citizen designers or RPA standards, we'd love to talk to you. And, certainly if we can help you from a business perspective, all the more.
Great, great. It's a very exciting concept of citizen designers and design itself being introduced to RPA with standards, right? And that's pretty exciting. So thank you for sharing your views today, Charles. Great to have you on.
Hey, great to talk to you again, Nandan, and look forward to catching up again soon. And thanks for having me on and being able to share what we're doing at Blueprint.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you're there, feel free to explore more automation ideas, tutorials, tools, and more. See you next time.